Chapter 5 Stiles' sulk lasts about 3 minutes before he decides that pumping Derek for information is a better tactic. Okay, so who was that werewolf that was killed? Why did Deucalion not want me to call the police? Why were you and Laura all tense about this? Derek scowls out the window.
Scarlet is one of the main challengers. She was sniffing after Gordon, for one thing, which is why Laura had him leave. She didn't want anyone thinking he was involved. Scarlet's from Oregon. She actually has the territory directly north of us, which means she's one of the people who would gain the most with a successful challenge. She could actually expand her territory instead of just taking over a new one.
I get it, Stiles says.
Some people would just give up their own territory for a prime piece of real estate like Beacon Hills, but Scarlet could actually keep her own territory and get this one.
Yeah, Derek says. So, Laura has motive.
And if the authorities hadn't gotten involved, I'm willing to bet Deucalion would have tried to spin it that way to turn other alphas against her.
What does it matter? Stiles asks. He was the one who was all like, it happens.
If another alpha is stepping on Laura's toes, sniffing around after her mate and threatening to steal her territory, isn't Laura kind of entitled to try to get her to back off?
Yes, Derek says, but there are rules. You can't just murder someone whenever you feel like it. There has to be a challenge match.
You're talking about, like, an actual duel, Stiles says, and Derek nods.
Okay, and that's kind of
awesome, actually. Never mind, moving on. So, whoever killed Scarlet went about it in the wrong way, but that still doesn't totally account for you and Laura being all fucked up.
Derek is quiet for a minute.
Did it strike you as familiar at all? Not the werewolf herself, but the way her body was arranged?
Yeah, actually, Stiles says, and frowns. I wasn't sure why.
Another long minute of silence as Stiles waits at a light and looks at the brooding werewolf anxiously.
You were at the station that day, Derek says.
The day Peter was killed.
Stiles flinches away from the memory, which starts with his usual Saturday morning ride to the station with his father, his chatter filling the car, and ends with a torn-up bloody body nailed to the police station door. His father had tried to keep him from seeing it, but he had seen. And Derek was right. It had looked like this.
Hunters like to cut their victims in half, Derek says. It's a way to ensure that the werewolf is dead. I'm not saying that one werewolf couldn't or wouldn't do it to another, but they usually don't.
Newsflash, Derek, Stiles says. I'm pretty sure that hunters don't compete in the mating rituals.
I know, Derek says.
Stiles chews on his lower lip.
If it was actually some sort of challenge, here's the last place it should have happened. I mean, the whole idea behind the maze was that it was for werewolves who had already chosen. If two werewolves were fighting over someone, they wouldn't have met here. And it would have been almost impossible to get into the maze without being seen. There were crowds of people by both entrances.
Yeah, Derek says. He shakes his head.
Your father will handle it. He's a good cop. Laura did the right thing turning it over to him. She can avoid the appearance of bias that way.
Fair enough, Stiles says, and shrugs it off. He's pretty sure he'll come back to it later, but there's no point in stressing about it.
Come see me in the tournament on Tuesday, okay? I promise I won't embarrass you.
Yeah, I'll be there, Derek says. He pulls up in front of the Stilinski house and puts the car in park.
I'd better come in, I guess. Your dad made it pretty clear that he wanted me to keep an eye on you. Even if you didn't go anywhere, he might be pissed if I left.
Yeah, he doesn't trust me for some weird reason, Stiles says, putting on a look of wide-eyed innocence when Derek gives him a skeptical look.
You ever played Halo?
Derek scoffs, as if to say that such lowbrow entertainment was beneath him, but he proves to be suspiciously decent at the game. Stiles spends the entire refresher session at the range, trying to pump his father for information, but the sheriff refuses to tell him anything about the murder beyond, "It's not your business." Things at the ceremonies are a little tense, but overall it doesn't seem to have made a huge impact. He drops by the athletics again, muddling his way through an obstacle course, and heads to the artsy rooms to try his hand at a few new skills. About 200 people are in the firearms competition. He doesn't even break the top 50 with the rifle. Needed more practice, but does pretty well with the handgun, taking 22nd, which isn't bad at all given his age and lack of experience. Gordon takes first place with the rifle and second with the handgun. Werewolves are all over him afterward, and he responds politely and with due diligence to everyone. Stiles sees Laura hovering on the outskirts at one point and wonders why she isn't approaching. One of the women, a tall werewolf with pale skin and jet-black hair, spends a lot of time pressed against Gordon's side and smirking at Laura. Gordon doesn't peel her off, although he doesn't particularly look like he's enjoying it. Laura's jaw is tight and angry, and she walks over and congratulates Gordon. For a minute it looks like there might be bloodshed, but Laura doesn't try to get any of the other werewolves away from him. Stiles does notice that out of all of them, only Laura got that genuine smile, where the corners of his eyes crinkle. Derek walks him back to his car. Stiles has a bounce in his step. His father had attended and cheered him on, and he'd gotten one of those awkward back-slapping hugs that he adores for his showing. Then he had jetted away. Work to do. But it was enough for Stiles that his father was proud of him.
"Hey, so next thing is the dance on Saturday night, right?"
"We don't need to go to the dance," Derek says, shaking his head.
"Well, yeah, I know we don't need to," Stiles says. "But I'm going because I told Scott I would wingman for him, so I figured you would want to go too."
"The dance is for people who haven't chosen," Derek says. "We're not supposed to go. It sends the wrong message if we do." Stiles rubs a hand over his hair and says,
"Yeah, that's great and all, but your werewolf politics are going to have to take a back seat here, because, like I said, I told Scott I would wingman for him."
Derek's scowl deepens.
"Scott doesn't have a chance of being picked anyway, so what the hell does it matter?"
"Okay, wow," Stiles says.
"Let me rephrase. I'm going to the dance. I don't give a fuck if you show up or not. Later."
Derek grabs him by the wrist as he opens the door to the Jeep.
"You can't go without me," he growls. "It would look bad, like you were..."
"I know exactly how it would look," Stiles says.
"I'm not a fucking idiot."
"So I guess you're going to have to make an appearance. And if you want me to actually ask you for a dance, to reiterate to everyone that I belong to you, and I'm only there to help out my bro, you'll do something revolutionary. Like... fucking apologize for being a dick."
"I'm not trying to be a dick," Derek says, exasperated.
"It's just, you know it's true. No one has even showed any interest in him." Stiles studies him for a few moments thoughtfully. "Do you know where I was last Christmas?"
"What?
No. How would I know that?"
"I was at the hospital.
Because Scott had pneumonia and wound up being admitted so he could have oxygen and chest PT and other things that you werewolves never have to worry about.
Oh, you know I was there in March, too, when he had to go to the ER because someone wore really strong perfume to school and he had an asthma attack.
Oh, would you believe I was there in April, too? Because this asshole jock thought it would be funny to steal Scott's inhaler, play with it until it emptied out, and then stick it back in his bag."
Derek's jaw was still set in a scowl, but he didn't say anything.
"I don't give a rat's ass how bad Scott's chances are," Stiles concludes. "I'm going to keep doing everything I can to get him a werewolf so he can get the bite, so he can climb 2 flights of stairs without having to sit down for 5 minutes afterward, so he can go on field trips without his mother needing to chaperone in case he gets sick, so I don't have to lie awake at night whenever he's in the hospital. and I don't really care whether or not that matters to you. I'm going to the dance.
After a moment, Derek says, grudgingly, I'll pick you up at 7. Stiles folds his arms over his chest.
And?
And what?
Derek asks.
Do you want me to ask you to dance?
To loudly deflect any rumors by announcing I'm only there to wingman my bro, and of course I'm not interested in any other werewolves.
Derek sighs. Okay, fine. I'm sorry for what I said about your friend.
Good enough, Stiles says, since he can't make Derek mean it, only say it.
7 it is. Semi-formal, right?
Yeah, Derek says.
Then I will find a tie.
You look like you're in a good mood, Peter observes, as Derek stalks into the main floor of the apartment, slamming the door behind him. The elder werewolf is curled up by the window with a book and a mug of tea.
Did the tournament not go well? Laura got back half an hour ago, and she's been mooning away over the winner ever since.
I heard that, Laura shouts from the kitchen, and there's a bang and a rattle as she closes a drawer.
The tournament went fine, Derek says, though his scowl doesn't lessen. He paces back and forth across the room before finally saying, grudgingly, I need to find something to wear to the dance on Saturday.
That ought to be interesting, Peter says mildly, flipping a page. I can't recall the last time I saw you in anything more formal than a polo shirt, and that was when you were 9. But Laura is going to take Cora shopping tonight, so perhaps you can tag along with them.
Laura comes out of the kitchen, wiping her hands dry on a dish towel.
Why are you even going to the dance? She asks, frowning. I thought you and that Stiles kid had everything all worked out. Which, by the way, you really should give him the...
I know, Laura, Derek says, glaring at her. He doesn't even want to think about what Stiles' reaction would be if he gave him the collar and asked him to wear it. When you've given one to Gordon, you can talk to me about giving one to Stiles.
Laura folds her arms over her chest, unimpressed. Gordon still has others interested in him. If I gave him a collar, it's a direct challenge to them. Stop trying to dodge the subject. Why are you going to the dance?
Stiles wants to go. His friends are going. And if he goes, I have to go. So just stop asking questions about it and take me with you to buy a suit or something.
Peter closes his book and redirects his attention to the matter at hand.
Have you talked to him about the auction?
Derek squirms.
No. He has to participate, Derek. It's not optional, Peter says. Gordon's already said he won't, and Cora's interest in Isaac has been largely speculative. You claimed Stiles and warned other werewolves away. If Laura had a mate to bid on, we wouldn't push this issue, but...
I'll talk to him about it, Derek says loudly, interrupting his uncle. He's thinking that maybe if he helps Stiles out at the dance, he'll be more likely to agree.
Why don't you badger her?
He has been, all afternoon, Laura says, her jaw tight.
You're only angry at me because you know I'm right, Peter says, picking his book back up.
Derek doesn't need to ask what they were arguing about. Peter has made it very clear that he thinks Laura's caution around Gordon borders on cowardice, and it's making her look bad. On the one hand, Derek agrees with Peter. The way Laura is dancing around the issue makes it very plain that she's trying to avoid confrontation. On the other hand, if Peter had been more supportive of Laura as their alpha at the beginning, they wouldn't be having half as many problems. On the third hand, presuming he had one, it's insanely irritating that Laura had put all this pressure on him to find somebody and not embarrass her, and now she's not living up to her end of the bargain. Derek examines this from all angles before saying,
Look,
If you like Gordon, shouldn't you at least ask? I mean, the whole point is to find a mate, right?
I will ask Gordon when the time is right, Laura says, effectively putting a stop to that argument despite Peter's little scoffing noise.
Derek changes the subject. Have they made any progress on Scarlett's murder?
Laura pushes both hands through her hair.
Well, despite the fun that the rumor mill is having with it, no. According to the records, only 7 people were inside the maze when it happened. All of them were found on the way out, and none of them were covered in blood. We don't even have an idea what Scarlett was doing at the maze. She hadn't signed up for it, didn't have a partner. It's a complete mystery right now.
She forces a smile.
Sheriff Stilinski will get it figured out. I'm going to go finish making dinner. Then we can go shopping.
Derek frowns after her as she heads back into the kitchen. Then he turns his glare on Peter.
You could try not being such a jerk to her.
Peter turns a page in his book and doesn't look up.
My attitude bothers you more than it bothers her.
No, I'm just the one who calls you on it, Derek snaps.
Peter looks up and gives him that smile, which means, I'm 500% done with you for today. And then he says,
Do you mind? I'm trying to read.
About 50 different smart retorts filter through Derek's mind, but in the end he just walks away.
There's never any point arguing with Peter. He always wins, and even when he doesn't, he makes Derek think that he has. He decides to hide up in his room until dinner is ready.
After a few minutes to think, he decides the conversation about the auction might go better over text than face-to-face. At least Isles won't be able to yell at him. But he needs a better opener, given how they last parted. He considers his options before texting Stiles.
Has Scott met Isela?
They might get along.
The response is gratifyingly quick.
Not sure. Describe?
Hispanic, on the short side, from southern Arizona.
I don't think we've met her.
Well, I saw that Scott did a lot of stuff with the first aid and veterinary medicine. Isela's mother is a doctor, so I guess they'd have some stuff in common.
There's a long pause, then Stiles texts, Thanks, I'll let him know.
Since Stiles is clearly accepting the peace offering as it was intended, Derek moves on to other, touchier subjects.
The auction is the day after the dance, he texts.
Yeah, I know. We doing that? Stiles answers.
We should, Derek replies.
Okay, Stiles texts in return, and Derek gives his phone the side eye, wondering if it could actually be that easy. Then Laura is calling that dinner is ready, so Derek texts Stiles to say they can talk about the details at the dance, and heads downstairs.
Laura must be feeling bad about what's going on. Derek can tell, because as they're getting ready to leave, she turns to Peter and says awkwardly,
Do you want to come? We could drive over to the mall in Redding.
That's nearly an hour away, Cora says, rolling her eyes.
Peter gives Laura a smile and says, I appreciate the offer, but don't go out of your way for me. I'll stay here and finish my book. We can go shopping some other time.
Laura nods and the three of them head out to her car. Derek lets Cora have the front seat and they drive in silence.
All of them sometimes feel bad for the fact that Peter can't go anywhere in Beacon Hills, lest he be recognized, and an uproar started over his resurrection. Peter himself never seems to mind. If he's craving a cheeseburger, he'll drive an hour to get one, to somewhere that nobody will know him. The rest of the time he stays in the basement apartment.
After a few minutes, Laura asks her younger sister if she's excited about the dance, and since Cora actually is, that gets them onto a more cheerful topic. Derek leaves them looking at dresses and goes to pick out a jacket and a tie. It doesn't take long. Fashion isn't his thing, and he wants to get away from the 2 female clerks who are eyeballing him, clearly thinking about making suggestions. When he gets back to the girls, Laura is holding a dark green dress up against Cora, and she's oohing and aahing over it. Derek stands and watches them as Laura smiles, and Cora looks at herself in the mirror, and they just act like girls for a few minutes. He feels how painfully young they are, even though he's 2 years younger than Laura. She looks so tired and strained, with so much on her shoulders. For the first time, he sympathizes with her decision not to try to lay a claim on Gordon, despite all the pressure she had put on him. He can't imagine what it would be like to meet someone at the rituals that he actually wanted, but lacked the self-confidence to approach them about it. Styles is a different story, he tells himself. They had an agreement, and to change that agreement now would be weird and make Styles uncomfortable. It's a totally different situation. When Cora flounces off toward the dressing rooms, Derek walks over and rejoins Laura. She looks up at him and pushes her hands through her hair. She's having fun, she says. Yeah, Derek replies. I'm sorry I've pushed you both so hard. It's fine, Derek says. It's for the pack. We'll do whatever we have to. He reaches down and grips Laura's hand, giving it a squeeze. You're my alpha. Always. What you say goes. Laura looks up at him and manages a smile. Thanks. You'll keep an eye on her at the dance? Of course, Derek says. The two of them walk over to the dressing rooms as Cora is coming out in her first outfit. It's a little loose around the top, she says, and Laura agrees. Two more dresses are tried on and rejected before she comes out in one that's forest green, with narrow straps and a long, gauzy skirt. She clearly loves it, no matter how much she tries not to gush. Not green, Derek says, scowling. I picked a red tie. We'll look like Christmas siblings. The two women look at each other, then at Derek, and then Laura says, Go pick another tie. Fine, Derek huffs, and stalks back toward the men's section. He returns the maroon tie and grabs one that's black and silver instead. By the time he gets back to the others, Cora has changed back into her regular clothes, and they head for the registers. Derek takes out his phone and texts Styles. Isaac will ask Cora to dance, won't he? He doesn't want to see his younger sister's heart broken. Dude, it's all he's been talking about for the last 2 days, Styles replies, and Derek breathes a sigh of relief. Styles stares at himself in the mirror for a long time, willing the image to change from a 16-year-old playing dress-up to a confident young man with a big date. It doesn't happen. He looks okay. His tie isn't crooked, his suit jacket fits. His shoes are appropriately shiny. After a minute, he huffs out a breath and goes downstairs. Hey, there you are, his father says, looking up. His face breaks into a smile. Nice tie, he teases. Where'd you get it? Very funny, Dad, Styles says. The tie in question is the only one his father owns, which he has borrowed for the event in question. Jeez, I look like a kid. You look fine. His father walks over and puts both hands on his shoulders. Hey, look at me, he says, and Styles looks up reluctantly. You are a brilliant, amazing, extraordinary young man, and you should be confident in yourself, because anyone, werewolf or otherwise, would be lucky to have you. Okay? Styles manages a nod and tries to hold his head up. Yeah, don't get all mushy on me, he says. I won't, Sheriff Stolensky says. God, I wish your mother were here to see this. Well, she'd have picked a better tie, that's for sure, Styles says. And they both laugh. That awful, sad laughter that he wishes would someday be happy again. Then his father slaps his back as the front door bell rings. It occurs to him to wonder why his father is giving him this pep talk, if his attraction to Derek is that transparent, and is almost glad that he doesn't have a chance to ask about it. Derek is standing at the front door wearing a gray suit with a white shirt and matching black and silver tie. Stiles smiles at him nervously, glad that they're not wearing the same colors.
Hi.
Hey, he says. He's saved from having to make further conversation when his father comes up behind him.
I want him home by midnight, he says.
Yes, sir, Derek says. Sheriff Stilinski gives a satisfied nod.
You two kids have fun, he says,
nudges Stiles out the door and closes it behind him. Derek turns and heads toward the car without another word, and Stiles sighs and follows him. He knows that Derek is irritated with him, and whether or not he has a right to be could be the subject of endless debate. He really doesn't care at the moment, but if they can't reconcile, it's going to be a long night.
Hey, Cora, he says, getting into the back seat of the Camaro.
You look great.
Thanks, she says. Only a little bit more sourly than usual.
So, Derek, I should ask you to dance right away, right? Stiles asks, and Derek nods shortly.
What if someone else asks you to dance?
Then I'll dance, Derek says. That's the point.
Well, should I, like, sit in your lap or something?
Christ, no, Derek says. A little too quickly, and Stiles could swear that he sees color rising in the werewolf's cheeks.
It doesn't matter if other people ask me, as long as I don't show interest in them in return, so just be polite about it.
Okay, Stiles says, if you say so.
Derek scowls and focuses on the road. Stiles decides to ignore him until he stops being a jerk. He finds Scott waiting outside the school gymnasium where the dance is being held, obviously too nervous to go inside. Stiles waves and slings an arm around his shoulder, tugging him into the building.
Okay, here's the plan, he says, scanning the room to see who's there. The dance has been going on about 20 minutes, and it's in full swing. Derek says there's a girl here named Isila who's about your age. Mother's a doctor, and she loves animals, so she should be perfect for you. You're going to ask her to dance. That's going to make Carly jealous, right? Because Carly thinks you're all into her. Then we're going to leave her hanging for a little while, play hard to get. When we judge her to be appropriately desperate, that's when you're going to ask her. She'll melt into your arms like butter on a hot day. Got it?
Got it, Scott says, with a decisive nod. He looks up as Derek and Cora come in.
A lot of people look up, actually, and Stiles can practically feel the wave of interest that accompanies their entrance.
Scott says, Oh, you better...
On it, Stiles says. He jogs over to the two of them, plants himself right in front of Derek, and says with a smirk, Can I interest you in a dance?
Derek's scowl lessens slightly.
If you insist, he says. But then he looks at Cora uncertainly, like he doesn't want to leave her by herself. Before he has to deal with that, however, Isaac walks over with Scott in tow. He's in that hunched-up, nervous posture, and Stiles sees Scott elbow him and mutter something that he can't hear over the music. Isaac straightens up and approaches Cora as if she's a ticking time bomb.
Wanna dance?
It's maybe a little less smooth than it could be, but it gets the point across.
Cora tucks her hair behind her ear and says,
Sure.
Looking about as uncertain as Isaac does. She accepts his hand and he leads her onto the floor.
You just hang out, Stiles says to Scott. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The song is a slow one, and Stiles sort of wishes their timing was better. He clears his throat several times as he leads Derek onto the dance floor and gingerly puts his hands on Derek's upper arms. Derek gives him a funny look.
What are you doing?
Leaving room for the Holy Spirit, Stiles says weakly.
What? Derek says.
Never mind, Stiles replies.
Since we're not actually...
Shut up! Derek hisses at him. Stiles grimaces in apology, and Derek huffs out a sigh.
Okay, like this.
He picks up Stiles' left hand and puts it on his shoulder. Then his other hand lands on Stiles' hip, and Stiles nearly jumps out of his skin. Derek takes Stiles' free hand in his own, but they wind up awkwardly extended.
Your arms are too long, Derek says.
Sorry, Stiles says, rolling his eyes. He puts his hand on Derek's other shoulder.
Better?
Yeah, Derek says, flushing pink again. His free hand wanders down and lands on the small of Stiles' back. Stiles tries to focus on breathing and not having a coronary incident.
There. That's good.
Now we just sway and shuffle our feet a bit, right? Stiles says, trying not to think about how there's really only an inch of space between their chests, or how nice Derek smells, or how warm he is, or how easy it would be to just rest his head on Derek's chest, or any one of a dozen thoughts that will almost certainly lead to an awkward boner.
Right, Derek says.
A few moments go by. Stiles doesn't know where to look. His face is so uncomfortably close to Derek's, and everything else is pretty dim, so basically all he can see is Derek's amazing eyes, staring down at him with that fierce intensity that Derek always carries with him. Stiles swallows hard and starts to sweat, eyes darting around for something else he can look at. Derek's mouth, nope, no good, way too kissable. His jaw? Still no, that jaw could have been chiseled by Michelangelo himself. Hairline? Hairline is good. He fixes his gaze on it.
What are you staring at? Derek hisses.
Nothing, Stiles stammers. Derek sighs again.
Will you please just relax? It's just a dance. You're the one who insisted on coming. Didn't you think about this part?
No, Stiles says. Sometimes... Okay, I don't always put the amount of thought into things that I should. Just let me look at your hair, because looking at your face is making me nervous.
What? What's wrong with my face?
Nothing. Nothing is wrong with your face. That's what's wrong with it.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I didn't say it did. Stiles bites his lip and looks at the ceiling. Derek grumbles but allows this because he seems to have realized that pressing the issue is only going to make things more awkward. The song ends about 2 minutes later and they both make a beeline for the refreshments.
Thank God that's over, Derek mutters.
Yeah, terrible, Stiles says, mainlining a cup of lemonade like it's tequila. Help me find that Isila girl you were talking about.
Chapter 6. Derek spots Isila sitting on the werewolf side of the room, chatting with a few friends. She's fairly unremarkable looking, somewhat plain, and with makeup that obviously wasn't done by a professional. She's wearing a strapless pink dress that flatters her figure well enough. Stiles finds Scott and points her out.
I can't go over there by myself, he says, looking like he might hyperventilate himself into an asthma attack. You said you'd be my wingman.
I know, but I can't ask other people to dance. It'd be bad form, Stiles says. But I can still go over there while you say hi. Derek, come with me, he adds, lacing his fingers through the older man's and hoping they aren't too sweaty and clammy. Derek just rolls his eyes but goes along. Scott gives Isila his best puppyish smile and asks her if she'd like to dance. She smiles back, more politely than anything else, but accompanies him to the dance floor. Stiles gives them a thumbs up as they leave.
That's it, Derek says. That's what you had to come here to do? You didn't even have to say anything.
Stiles turns with an exasperated look on his face and says, Because you've always had the self-confidence to do anything you wanted, right? Because the first time you asked a girl out, there were trumpets and confetti, and she swooned into your arms because you're stupidly gorgeous and a hot piece of werewolf ass? Jesus, Derek, grow a little bit of compassion for the lowly, socially awkward dorks among us, and until then, leave me the fuck alone. He storms off like the mature adult he is and finds a corner to sulk in. He can't ask anyone else to dance, he's not that mad, and the format of the dance means he doesn't need to worry about anyone else asking him. Derek doesn't try to follow him, so Stiles just watches for a little while.
Scott dances two numbers with Acela, and then they go over to get some punch. From the look of it, Scott is being his charming, adorkable self, so he clearly doesn't need help. Isaac and Cora have been split up because another young man asked Cora to dance. She looks quite annoyed by this. Her glare rivals Derek's, but her suitor seems unfazed. Isaac is left hovering nervously by Boyd, like he's not sure what to do next. As far as Stiles can tell, Boyd hasn't bothered asking anyone to dance. Like Stiles, he seems to be there mainly for moral support. That makes sense to Stiles. Boyd really hasn't connected with anyone, but he obviously wants to be there for Erica. Her tactic seems to be to wear a low-cut dress and ask any werewolf with a pulse for a dance, whereupon she flirts with them outrageously. It seems to actually be working, if the number of admiring stares is any indication. When half an hour has passed, and he still doesn't see Derek anywhere, he takes the opportunity to cajole Scott into asking Carly for a dance before he goes looking for the older man. Carly seems put out that Scott had been dancing with someone else, just as Stiles had predicted. He hopes that this will get them somewhere in the long run. Stiles looking for Derek doesn't do him any good. He finds Cora. Isaac has reclaimed her for another dance, and she's scowling at anyone who looks like they might interrupt. This includes Stiles, but he's growing inured to Cora's scowl. "Hey, have you seen Derek?" Cora lifts her head and sniffs a little. "I think he went outside after you ditched him."
"I didn't..."
"Okay, I did, but he deserved it."
"Thanks."
Stiles walks over to the door out of the gymnasium that leads into a little courtyard. As Cora had said, he's sitting on a low stone bench, glowering out into the distance. Stiles sighs and sits down next to him. He's not sure what to say. He isn't about to apologize, but he knows that Derek is tense.
"There wasn't," Derek finally says, his voice flat and short.
"Jesus, do you guys have a class on how to be cryptic?" Stiles asks, losing his temper all over again. "There wasn't what?"
"Trumpets and confetti," Derek says. "And I didn't ask her. She asked me. I was 15, she was 26, and she was a hunter who told me she loved me and then used me to get close to my family. And in the end, she killed them."
"Jesus fucking Christ, Derek," Stiles stammers.
"I'm not..."
A look of frustration crosses Derek's face.
"I'm not good at this. Being nice. Talking to people. Pretending. Just... I'm sorry if I'm a dick sometimes."
I'm pretty sure that's the best excuse in the galaxy for being a dick. You're totally forgiven," Stiles says.
Derek shakes his head.
"I don't know. I don't even know why I told you that."
"Me neither," Stiles says. "Come on, let's get out of here. Scott's doing fine. Cora and Isaac are mind-melding. Nobody needs us."
"Okay," Derek says. He gets to his feet and they head back to the Camaro.
Stiles thinks that they should really talk about this.
There are dozens of things they should probably talk about.
But for once, the silence is strangely comfortable. It explains so much about Derek. Why he was hesitant about this process. Why he has so little regard for himself or for his future. Why he devotes everything to the pack and won't let go. They need to talk about it. Or, well, someone should talk to Derek about it, but Stiles isn't sure that that's him. He's just the beard. Just the guy who's trying to keep this month from being too torturous for Derek. After the closing ceremonies, he supposes they won't see each other again. And that thought echoes in his suddenly hollow chest. It hurts more than it should. They drive in silence, and Derek drops him off, and only says, "The auction starts at 8 tomorrow. I'll pick you up at 7.
"Okay," Stiles says, getting out of the car.
Good night, then. He waves as Derek drives away.
You're home early,
his father says when he comes inside. Yeah, Stiles says.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I just... Stiles shakes his head. I'm just tired, that's all. His father narrows his eyes as he goes up the stairs to his bedroom, but he's smart enough not to comment. Stiles is sure that a talk about this is coming, but if he can avoid it for the night, that will have to be good enough. Stiles studies himself in the mirror for a long moment before saying, Okay, this might not be the most demeaning thing I've ever done, but it's got to be up there. Derek scowls at him and snaps, I told you that you didn't have to if you didn't want to. Stiles sighs because he feels like he's starting to learn Derek's language now, how to mine his tone and his stance for the true meaning underneath his growls. Derek is anxious, and it's obvious that he doesn't want Stiles doing this any more than Stiles wants to. But they're both equally aware of why it has to be done. Since neither Cora nor Laura has expressed a definite interest in anyone, they don't have anyone to officially bid on in the auction. They could still feel free to bid, but there was nobody that they had to win if they wanted to maintain face. Neither Isaac nor Gordon is anticipating in any case. Laura might place some token bids, but that would be all. Since they were out, and winning at least one person in the auction was important, that left Stiles. Derek had claimed him from the beginning, and several other people had expressed interest. It was vital for the Hale family appearance that he be in the auction. How do I look? He asks, turning away. What did one wear to a werewolf auction? In his case, a t-shirt and jeans. He's done trying to impress people or not impress them. It's become abundantly clear that this isn't about him. Just like Derek had tried to warn him from the beginning, this is about politics and appearances and power. Nobody will give a shit what he's wearing tonight. As such, Derek doesn't dignify that with an answer. He just jerks his head toward the door.
Let's go.
Stiles follows him down the loft stairs into the Camaro.
So how does this go? Tell me I don't have to sing and dance. Nobody wants that.
Derek's scowl eases a little at this.
No, you just stand there, and the MC will read a little out of your dossier. Name, age, occupation, which you don't have anyway, etc. He'll probably mention a couple things you did well on earlier.
He takes a breath. A couple other people will bid on you. And if you happen to notice, I'll make a few bids on other people as well. Don't let that worry you. While the bidding is low, it's considered polite. Bidding on another person's chosen mate indicates that you think they've chosen somebody worthy of the title. Laura will open the bidding on you. That's her place as my alpha.
Gotcha, Stiles says. But nobody will really bid on me, will they?
Derek grimaces a little.
Enough people have been dicks about it that they might. As a subtle challenge or just to be an asshole. But don't worry.
He glances over and says, This is a charity auction. Bids start at $5. Someone particularly desirable might go for as much as a couple hundred. Laura says the highest she's ever even heard of was a $500 bid that went down while two alphas were fighting over someone. I've got $2,000 with me. No one will be outbidding me.
Stiles nods and relaxes a little.
Do we wait afterward?
Yeah, you'll come sit with me in the audience for whoever's after you. You'll probably be somewhere in the middle. We pay at the end, and then we leave.
Okay. Stiles huffs out a breath.
I still say it's demeaning. It's a charity auction. It's supposed to be demeaning.
Fair enough. Stiles strikes up a conversation about something else. Derek is surprisingly knowledgeable about baseball, and that gets them to the hotel. Stiles is ushered away by a few of the attendants, waving over his shoulder. He gets shown into a small room that's off one of the ballrooms.
Then it's hurry up and wait time. It's almost an hour before the auction begins. It's fun to watch the other goods arrive, some of them dressed to the nines, some of them in combat gear, whatever they think will make the most impression. He sticks out more and more like a sore thumb. Still, once it gets going, he relaxes. The first woman up, wearing a skimply negligee, gets polite applause and a few whistles. Bidding starts at 5, quickly goes up to 50, trails off into the low hundreds, and ends there. The next person is a bulky young man who he's seen a few times with one of the Alpha twins. He can't remember which one. Apparently, people don't care about being polite to that particular twin, because no one much wants to bid on his prospect. He gets a final bid of $25. Stiles zones out for a little while, listening to the MC drone about the virtues of each prospect, the yammering as he takes the bids. A few more people clear out, and he realizes that he's suddenly sitting next to Jennifer, with a few empty chairs between them. She's twisting a loose thread from her dress in her hands. "You nervous?" he asks her. "Scared to death," she confesses. "It's silly, right?" "No, I get it," Stiles says. "I mean, in theory, we're at the disposal of whoever wins us, right? So if we don't get one by the right person..." Jennifer shudders. "The funny thing is, that's not what scares me. I just picture getting up there and Kali not bidding on me, just looking at me from the audience and not saying a word." "Hey, relax," Stiles says. "Kali's been on you since day one, right? She's obviously got a real crush on you. You'll be fine." The brunette manages a smile for him. "Thanks, Stiles." "You want to hear what scares me?" Stiles asks. "I guarantee it's even sillier." Jennifer laughs. "Shoot. I'm going to get up on that damned stage, and he's going to call me Przemyslaw Stalinski instead of Stiles." "Oh, how awful," Jennifer says, and then they're both laughing. Then the MC calls her name. She swallows and says, "Wish me luck," before she hurries out onto the stage in her slinky black dress. There is somewhat louder applause than usual. Stiles fiddles while he listens to the MC's spiel. "Jennifer Blake, 27, English teacher from Idaho." The bidding quickly goes up to $50, then $75, and Stiles peeks through the cracks in the folding screens to see who's winning. It's Kali, of course, her eyes shining crimson as she dares anyone else to lay a finger on the woman she's claimed. A blushing Jennifer Blake goes for a final price of $120, and Kali walks up to the stage to help her step down. "Przemyslaw Stalinski," the MC says, and Stiles winces but walks out onto the stage. He hears a few people in the audience mangling his name as they try to figure out how to pronounce it. He thinks about telling them not to bother since the announcer said it wrong, but he gets the salient points after that correct. Stiles is 16, a student in high school, a resident of Beacon Hills, performed very well at such and such and so, and has proved to be very loyal to his friends. "The bidding, as always, starts at $5, the MC says, and Laura raises her little placard with a polite smile at her brother. "Do we have 10? He asks, and Derek lifts his own. 15? Some polite bidding goes on between Derek and some of the other werewolves that Stiles has seen him and Laura being friendly with. Stiles chews on his lower lip and waits for it to be over. He doesn't start to get nervous until the bidding reaches 75, but then it peters out until Deucalion lifts his placard and says, 150. A collective gasp goes through the audience, not only at the jump in price, but at the werewolf who announced the bid. Stiles sees both Derek and Laura shoot identical stunned gazes at Deucalion. Stiles grits his teeth. Derek may be below Deucalion's sideline, but Laura is not, and this is a challenge to Laura. But it's a challenge that's going to end with Stiles sentenced to spend 24 hours with a psychopath if they lose. He reminds himself that Derek brought more than enough money as the MC collects himself and says, Well, do we have 175? Yes, 175 from Derek Hale. Do I have 200? And then Deucalion lifts that damn little placard and smirks that damn little smirk. Frustrated, Laura raises her placard at $350 as if to remind Deucalion that she is the alpha and that he should back off. He just smiles at her and bids $400. The audience has gone stunned and silent, watching this power play, and Stiles is suddenly keenly aware that the events of the next 5 minutes are going to determine the fate of the entirety of Beacon Hills and the Hale Pack. Laura probably hadn't brought much money, if any, since she hadn't been planning to bid, and the bids have to be paid in cash directly at the end of the ceremony. If the werewolf didn't bring enough money to pay, that's their problem. But despite the larger problem hanging in the balance, Stiles can't help but shoot Derek a desperate look as the bidding tops $1,000. They're bidding for Beacon Hills, but he's the one who's going to suffer. He doesn't want to admit it, but Deucalion scares the shit out of him, and he can't even imagine what the Alpha will do to him. Remove him from the running permanently, most likely. It occurs to him to wonder what would happen if he just said, "You know what, fuck this shit," and walked off, but his better judgment makes a rare appearance and warns against it. He's pretty sure that leaving just because the person who claimed you isn't winning is extremely bad form. Even if the bidding has crept up to 1,700, and Derek is cringing at each time he has to raise his placard, and clearly wishing that the MC would keep the bidding in smaller increments, since he's now raising it $100 at a time. When the bidding hits 2,000, Derek raises his placard for the last time. Deucalion immediately counters with 2,100. Derek half raises his placard, then drops it, and everyone stares at him. A little titter runs through the audience. Stiles gives the werewolf a look that he hopes adequately expresses how pissed off he is. The MC is actively smirking now. 2,100 is the current bid. Do I hear 2,200? Anyone? Going once? 3,000, a voice in the back says, and every neck twists. Derek's head jerks around so fast that Stiles can practically hear the creak, but he barely notices because he's staring at the man who's just entered the bidding fray. He's middle-aged, neatly dressed with a small goatee and a toothy smile. He's not even holding a placard. The MC clears his throat. $3,000 from the gentleman in the back. Do I hear 3,100? Deucalion has barely lifted his placard when the man in the back says, 4,000. Now everyone is just staring. He reaches down and pats a briefcase that's sitting in the aisle next to him, which looks large enough to hold at least 10 times that much money. It's a gesture that couldn't say, "I can do this all day," any more clearly. Deucalion gives the newcomer a little nod, a thin smile, and lowers his placard. 4,000 in the back. Going once? Twice? Sold. Stiles just stares at the man who approaches with absolutely no idea who he is or what the hell just happened as he walks up to the front. He's wearing a dark suit with a blood-red shirt underneath it. It occurs to Stiles that he looks strangely, vaguely familiar, like he's met him before, but he can't recall where. The man extends a hand to him to help him down off the platform. "I don't," Stiles starts to say. "Come with me," the man replies. Stiles shoots a glance at Derek. Derek nods at him, his posture tense and rigid, but the lines on his face have smoothed out a little. Stiles accepts the man's hand and steps down off the platform. Then he walks to the back and sits down next to him. "Who?" he starts. "Not now," the man says, and the MC is calling out the next name. Stiles grits his teeth in frustration and thinks about getting up and walking away, but doesn't quite dare. There's no more drama, and the rest of the auction seems exquisitely boring. Stiles keeps shooting looks over at Derek, but the other werewolf refuses to look at him. It occurs to him that Derek probably feels like shit right now, so maybe he should have some sympathy, because this guy probably can't be as bad as Deucalion. As soon as the auction ends, the man is on his feet, grabbing his briefcase in one hand and Stiles' wrist in the other. Stiles casts a look over his shoulder for Derek, but then they're in line for him to pay. Much to his dismay, Kali and Jennifer are in line right behind them. "Well, well," Kali says, her voice practically a purr. "If it isn't Peter Hale. We thought you were dead." Stiles' jaw sags, and he stares at his companion, who just gives Kali a toothy smile. "Oh, I was," he says pleasantly, "for 8 entire days, as a matter of fact. It was really quite interesting. Gave me a whole new outlook on life. If you'd like to try it, I'd be happy to give you a hand." He doesn't speak loudly, but in a room full of werewolves, that doesn't matter. A low murmur goes through the crowd as Derek pushes his way through it. Peter tilts his head to glance at him and says, "See, nephew, that is how you issue a challenge. None of this money, or meaningful looks, or perving on boys half your age." "You dare!" Kali starts, getting in Peter's face. Stiles decides to hold very, very still and pretend to be invisible. "Now, now," Deucalion intervenes, "let the man have his victory, paltry as it is." He smiles at Peter. "Enjoy your spoils, Mr. Hale. I'm sure we'll be seeing you again." Derek moves up to Stiles' side as Kali snarls at Deucalion. "You okay?" he asks.
"I'd be better if someone could explain what the fuck is going on," Stiles blurts out.
"Oh, well," Peter says, "I figured my nephew would probably find some way to screw this up, so I decided I'd better show up and make sure nothing terrible happened to his cute little mate." He puts the briefcase down on the table and pops the clasps. Stiles glowers at him as he counts out the stack of bills. 4,000, he says. "Both of you sign," the woman at the table says.
"I'm not," Stiles starts.
"Sign the goddamned form, Stiles,"
Derek says in a low growl. Stiles glares at him, snatches the pen, and scribbles an approximation of his name.
"I'd say to have fun with him," Kali remarks in a haughty tone, "but we all know you only picked him to try to avoid challengers. You'd probably sooner mate with your own sister than you would touch that."
Stiles is about to let loose a truly witty comeback. Just give him a second to think of one, but he doesn't get the chance. Derek just spins around, grabs him around the waist, and pulls him into a kiss.
"Oh," is what makes it out of Stiles' mouth.
Derek kisses like an amateur, all bruising force and mashed lips, and it's amazing. Stiles lets a hand curl in the back of Derek's shirt, closes his eyes, and goes for broke.
It's a show, right?
He sinks into it and lets Derek give his mouth a thorough mauling. He comes back to the real world a moment later when there's a polite tap on each of their shoulders and Derek pulls away.
"I beg your pardon," Peter says, "but I did win him fair and square. And I think you've proven your point."
"Nah," Stiles pants.
"And we should probably let the ladies behind us take their turn," Peter says, and although his voice is casual, Stiles reads the underlying words perfectly well.
"We need to get out of here before things get worse."
Derek gives a little nod, his hand curling around Stiles' upper arm, and Stiles lets the older man drag him out of the ballroom. Laura joins them as they leave, her mouth thin and tight, face lined with worry. But she doesn't say anything until they've gotten outside, where she whirls on Peter and says, "What the hell were you thinking?" Peter arches his eyebrows at his niece.
"You are aware that I just pulled your ass out of the fire, right?"
"You're welcome."
"You can't just..."
Laura turns away, looking ready to hiss and spit out of sheer frustration. Since she seems to be having trouble figuring out what to say, Stiles decides he'll take the opportunity to chime in.
He looks at Peter. Now he understands why the man looked vaguely familiar to him.
"You're dead," he says.
"I saw your body."
"Really?"
Peter sounds interested. "How bad was it? These two have never been willing to tell me." Stiles tries to keep his jaw from sagging.
Slower, he says, "I saw your body. You were dead."
Yes, we've established that," Peter says.
"I didn't stay that way. Are we going to have this argument in the parking lot? Perhaps we should adjourn back to the house."
He reaches out and uncurls Derek's hand from around Stiles's arm.
"Would you care to ride with us, nephew? Or will you drive your fancy sports car by yourself?"
Stiles half expects Derek to protest and say that he'll take Stiles, and Peter can damn well get himself home, but he just says,
"I'll ride with you. I can come back for the Camaro tomorrow."
"You're all coming with me," Laura snaps, and nobody quite dares argue with her as she marches back to her car. As soon as they're all inside, she slams it into gear and goes right back into her rant.
"Jesus Christ, Peter! We've talked about this. I'm sorry if you feel like I've kept you prisoner in the basement, but you can't just announce yourself at a werewolf gathering and not expect there to be consequences. Do you have the slightest idea how big a disaster this could be?"
She continues for several minutes. Stiles sits with his hands in his lap and tries to pretend he can't hear her. Finally, Peter says, "Are you done?"
"For now," Laura snaps.
"Then I will take the opportunity to tell you that I know exactly what I'm doing, and half the reason the Hale Pack has appeared so vulnerable over the years is because of your age, because you were an inexperienced alpha without older family members to provide you guidance. But you know all that, don't you? And you know that a lot of the packs here are going to be less eager to tackle us now that they know I'm alive, because they know what I'm capable of. And you know that I saved your asses tonight." There's a brief pause, and then he adds, a little more quietly, "And I've never felt like a prisoner. I understood the precautions. But the time for that is over. You know that as well as I do." Laura pushes her hair out of her face.
"You could have asked me."
"You would have said no." Peter gives her a charming smile. "Better to beg forgiveness than ask permission."
"Oh, yeah?" Laura retorts. "When tonight have you begged forgiveness?"
"It's not my forte, I admit," Peter says, with a sigh that's not at all genuine. Laura seems content to steam in silence after that. Stiles wants to say something. He has about a billion questions, but it doesn't seem wise. About 10 minutes later, they get back to the apartment building. Laura slams the car door shut, stomps into the apartment, and then into the bathroom, where she then slams that door.
So, Stiles says, blinking. He's suddenly tired. It's almost 11 o'clock at night, and the stress of the auction has taken its toll on him.
I'm going home. I'll call my dad to pick me up if you don't want to.
You can't, Derek says. You have to spend the next 24 hours with Peter, remember?
What? Oh, come on, you're not actually going to.
I have to, Derek snaps. They'll know if you didn't, from your scent.
What? Stiles sputters. Come on, your noses are that sensitive? They'll be able to tell who I spent time with?
If it's for an extended period of time, then yes, Peter says.
He gives Stiles that toothy grin.
Don't worry, I'll take care of you.
How about I just go home and then take a long shower before I see any other werewolves? Stiles suggests.
Fine, Peter says. You owe me $4,000.
Stiles's mouth opens. Then it closes. He gives Derek a furious look. Derek scowls right back. Then Stiles says,
So you live in the basement apartment?
The one Derek told me was storage?
Got it in one, Peter says.
Derek clears his throat.
Do you want me to...
No, Stiles snaps and flounces off. He's noticed the spiral staircase in the corner before. Instead of taking it up to Derek's apartment, he finds that it leads down as well. There's a door at the bottom that he goes through. He can feel Peter behind him, but the older werewolf is quiet as he goes into the apartment and closes the door behind them. He's not sure what he was picturing. The lab of a mad scientist? Or the prison that Laura had alluded to? But what he gets is a warm, cozy little apartment. It's easily as nice as the ones above it. It seems a little smaller, but then he realizes that's because it's darker. The only windows are the little half-windows near the ceiling. It's partitioned into several rooms as well, in contrast to the open floor plan in Laura's and Derek's apartments. There's a little kitchenette, and he can see a bedroom through one of the doors. One of the walls is entirely covered with bookshelves, and the stone walls are covered with what look like old tapestries.
It's, nice, Stiles says, fidgeting.
Peter just quirks a little smile at him.
Relax, Stiles. I'm not going to hurt you. In fact, I think within the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be your favorite member of the Hale family.
Given how pissed off he is at Derek for getting him into this mess, a sentiment that Stiles appreciates is not wholly warranted. It wouldn't be difficult. He gives Peter a suspicious look and says,
"Why?"
"You have questions," Peter says. "Questions that either you don't dare ask Derek, or he doesn't know the answers to, or you've tried to ask and he's put you off." He spreads his hands out in front of himself. "Ask me anything. About the rituals, about the Hale family, about the Alpha Pack. I'll tell you whatever you want to know." Stiles thinks about that for a long minute. Then he repeats.
"Why?"
"Because you're in way over your head," Peter says. "And we need you. And Laura hasn't figured that out yet, and Derek isn't sure how to handle it. So, it only seems fair that somebody sit you down and tell you what you've gotten yourself into." Another minute.
"Got any coffee?" Stiles asks.
That toothy smile crosses Peter's face.
"Sure," he says.
Chapter 7. Stiles examines the bookshelves while Peter goes into the kitchen. It's an eclectic collection, both fiction and non, reference books on almost every imaginable subject, classics, children's books, cheesy romance novels. He looks up as Peter comes back in a few minutes later and hands him a mug. Then he sits down on one of the plush armchairs, leaning over with his elbows on his knees, cradling the cup between both hands.
"I saw your body," he finally says. "I was 12 years old. My mother had died a few years before, and my dad was still taking me with him to the station on a lot of weekends. Kate Argent nailed you to the door of the police station and left you there for them to find. There was blood everywhere. My dad tried to keep me from seeing, but I had nightmares about it for weeks afterwards."
"Sounds horrific," Peter says, sipping his coffee.
"Not one of my finer moments."
Another sip.
"How much do you know about what happened back then?"
"Just pieces," Stiles says. "There was a lot of gossip, rumor, but I don't know how much of what I heard was true."
Peter nods.
"Then let's start there, because a lot of what's happening now is directly related to what happened then. The Argent family hunts werewolves. The first thing you have to understand is the general attitude about werewolves, which has been shifting and changing ever since our existence was revealed a few centuries ago. Think of us like lions. Superior in many ways, fascinatingly powerful, rather rare.
And while most humans honor that, and everyone's happy to call us the king of the jungle, there are still plenty of people who hunt us for sport, or try to keep us in zoos.
That's depressing, Stiles says.
Peter gives a little shrug. People are, in general, stupid. He flashes Stiles a smile. You know this. They don't like things that are different. Prejudices come in all shapes and sizes. There are still plenty of people in the world who think that men from Africa are genetically incapable of being as intelligent as men from Europe, or who think that women don't have enough logical reason to be able to vote as rationally as men. Now, there is a subsection of humans, a very dangerous subsection, which includes people like Kate Argent, who believe that werewolves are just animals, and murdering them is completely fine. Why she set her sights on my family, I honestly have no idea. But she did. She and her lackeys blocked off the basement tunnel, barricaded the front door, and set the house on fire. Stiles winces a little, but Peter talks about this as matter-of-factly as if it were a historical battle from decades previous. There were two survivors, myself and Cora. Derek and Laura were at school. They weren't involved. Cora was small enough to wiggle out of one of the basement windows. I wasn't, but for some reason the gods spared me. Of course, I wound up in the hospital, and Laura is fond of postulating that I am now completely insane.
Way to make me feel secure in your basement, dude, Stiles says.
Peter just smiles at him again. After some time to heal, I decided to take revenge on those responsible.
Yeah, that part I'm familiar with, Stiles says. I heard my dad talk about the serial murders.
I killed everyone responsible except Kate Argent. Sadly, she got to me first. Peter gives another half-shrug. However, in doing so, she tipped her hand as the vicious psychopath that she was. Laura went to Chris Argent, the head of their family, and demanded, well, whatever he was willing to give her, to be honest. She was in no position to bargain, and she knew it. Chris could have easily killed the remaining three. Derek was 17, Cora even younger. But surprisingly, Chris is a decent man who follows their code. He was appalled that his sister had killed a family that included children and non-wares, and equally appalled, well, not that she killed me, but what she did to me first, which is better not spoken of. In any case, Chris executed his sister and gave Laura her head. Peace was declared throughout the land, there was much rejoicing, etc. And then Laura used an ancient ritual involving moonlight and alphahood and blood to bring me back from the dead.
She just brought you back from the dead, Stiles says, somewhat skeptically.
You saw my body. Yet here I sit. Peter tilts his head to one side. What other explanation were you expecting?
I'm not sure, Stiles admits. It just seems like if you can bring each other back from the dead, why didn't you bring your whole family back?
It doesn't work like that. The body has to be in
relatively good condition, and there's a narrow window of time in which it can be done. It can only be done by an alpha who's directly related to the deceased, and only on the night of a full moon.
Peter shrugs. Even then, she risked losing her alpha power, which would have left our family without an alpha. It was dangerous, but she needs me, and she knows it. Stiles lets out a breath and takes a few gulps of his coffee.
Okay, so what's happening now?
First things first, Peter says. In order to understand the what, you need to understand the who.
Deucalion.
Yeah, who is that douche canoe? Stiles asks. Peter smirks. Deucalion was one of a number of alphas who came to Beacon Hills for something of a conference, not long after the last mating rituals, as it happens. This was while the Hale family was alive and well.
The Argents and their ilk had been particularly problematic in the preceding year, and all the Alphas from the area got together to discuss it. That was Deucalion, Kali, Ennis, and my sister Talia. Opinions varied. Ennis wanted to kill them all. Talia wanted to strike only in retaliation. Frankly, I don't remember what Kali wanted, if I ever knew, and Deucalion wanted to try to strike a truce. Talia told him that it wasn't going to happen. Gerard Argent was in charge back then, and he was a ruthless son of a bitch. Deucalion tried anyway. Gerard ambushed him and killed about half his pack and put out Deucalion's eyes. This drove Deucalion completely insane in a way that makes my supposed psychosis look like a dandy stroll through a tulip field. He killed his entire pack. Unfortunately, in doing so, he realized that he absorbed their power, making him much stronger than before. He persuaded Kali and Ennis to do the same and join him, and since then they've traveled around looking for hunters to kill and, for the most part, finding them. Talia died in the fire not long after.
"Okay," Stiles says. "So Duke's nuts, and his cronies probably have a few screws loose, too. But why do they want this territory so bad?"
"Well, for starters, because werewolves are territorial by nature, and stealing each other's territory when we sense weakness is just something that we do," Peter says. "Secondarily, because Deucalion still holds Talia partially responsible for what happened that day. He thinks she should have been there to back him up, but she refused, because she was neither suicidal nor an idiot. And thirdly, because Beacon Hills is actually prime territory. A lot of ley lines run through it, which means a lot of supernatural energy, which means stronger werewolves." Stiles nods.
"Got it."
"So they decided to hold the rituals in Beacon Hills to step all over Laura's toes and force her to bow out of her position here. But that's not enough for Deucalion, and he obviously wants to humiliate her in the process."
"Mm-hmm. Laura went into this thinking that she would use this to solidify her pack's position. If she couldn't make people think we're strong, she could at the very least convince people that we're not weak."
"But then Derek picked me," Stiles says, wincing.
"Well, yes and no. Make no mistake, Stiles, and I hope you don't take this as something too insulting, but this is not about you. No matter who Derek picked, it would have come down to some sort of confrontation like this. Laura's done her best to dance around the topic and not choose anyone, and the sooner we can convince her to cut that shit out, the better. But that's another story. But the reason I say yes and no is that Derek picked you. It made him look cowardly, like he was trying to avoid a challenge. It made him look weak, like he couldn't handle one. And so Deucalion issued a challenge right there at the moonrise ceremony, and you spit in his eye." Peter's face cracks into a smile again.
"God, I wish I could have seen that."
"You have to understand, Stiles, humans don't do that. They don't challenge werewolves. Especially not Alphas."
Stiles rubs a hand over the back of his head.
"He was being a jerk."
"I'm sure," Peter says. "Derek picked someone that everyone immediately tried to walk all over, and then instead of him defending you, you defended yourself. Now people can't decide if Derek is a useless, pathetic doormat who bows to a human, or some kind of secret genius who found the best possible kind of mate, because rather than looking to make himself look strong, he found someone who would make the pack strong. Everyone's expectations have been upended, and to be honest, nobody is really sure how to handle it."
"Apparently by continuing to be jerks," Stiles says.
"Well, that goes without saying. But from our perspective, it's vital for us to appear like we did this on purpose, which is why I had to swoop in and save you tonight."
"Yeah, thanks for that," Stiles says. "Sorry if I wasn't appropriately grateful."
"Well, I do understand that I can be a bit intimidating.
Peter says, amused. Stiles gives him an annoyed look, and Peter just laughs.
"Okay, so what do we do?" Stiles asks.
"First things first." Peter stands up and picks a box up off the end table and tosses it to Stiles. He opens it to reveal a thin leather choker with a silver pendant on it, which has a calligraphy H etched into it.
"You need to start wearing that."
"Why do you even have that?" Stiles asks, making a face.
"Laura ordered 3 in preparation for this exact event," Peter says.
Stiles sighs.
"Of course she did."
"If anyone asks, Derek gave it to you after the auction. After my 24 hours were up, of course," he adds. "But the question is, will you wear it? How far are you willing to go for this? It's obvious that you and Derek are crazy about each other."
"Don't deny it," Peter says, rolling his eyes. "You two can act out your epic will-they-won't-they romance on your own time. But this isn't about Derek. This is about the Hale Pack. You're going to be in danger before this is over. At least one person has already been murdered, and you'd be dead if I hadn't showed up tonight. Things are going to get much worse."
He sees Stiles open his mouth and says, "No, don't give me an answer now. I want you to sleep on this one. You seem to like a challenge, and you don't seem to like pretentious blowhards like Deucalion telling you what to do. But you would be dead right now if it weren't for me, or worse. Don't think that Deucalion would have hesitated an instant to simply remove you from the field to destroy Lara's position as the alpha of this territory."
Stiles nods, hands clenching around the box.
"Okay," he says. "I'll think about it."
"All right, then."
Peter sits back down.
"Any other questions?"
There's a few long minutes while Stiles thinks about it.
"Why won't Laura stake a claim?"
"Because she wants Gordon," Peter says. "But at least 3 other werewolves, 2 of them alphas, have expressed interest in him, and he's not helping matters by basically refusing to indicate which of them, if any of them, he's interested in return. He declined to participate in the auction. Like you, he is an oddity. Nobody's quite sure why he's here, or what he's trying to get out of participating. Laura likes him. A lot. But she's afraid he'll decline if she presses the issue, and that would hurt her almost as much as getting challenged."
"Gee, this was easier in middle school," Stiles says, "when you could just pass a note. Do you like me? Circle yes or no."
Peter gives an amused snort.
"Well, if you decide you're on board, you can help. Gordon seems to find you tolerable enough. Maybe you can do a little detective work and figure out what his intentions are."
"Okay.
This mating stuff. The one true mate. You want to know if it's real or bullshit?"
Stiles nods a little.
"Cards on the table. Derek and I, it wasn't really a thing. I mean, I offered to be his beard to keep everyone off his back."
Peter is smirking a little.
"Yes, I know."
"Of course you do," Stiles says, rolling his eyes.
"To answer your question," Peter says, "there is no real answer. I've heard different opinions from different people. Some werewolves believe in it wholeheartedly. They say that the instant they saw their mate, they just knew. Some people share Derek's opinion that it's all politics and appearances. Some people counter that by saying that those people have just never met their mate, so they can't understand. Some people say it happens because people want it to happen.
Maybe that's true. Maybe it's different for everyone. The rituals have been going on for over 1,000 years, so if the people who founded them believed in their message, their intentions have been lost to time. I'm afraid I don't really have an answer for you, Stiles. You're going to have to decide what you believe on your own, like the rest of us."
Stiles nods,
Then he yawns. He tries to stifle it, but doesn't do a good job. It's almost midnight, and it's been a long day.
Hell, a long week.
Peter stands up and says, I'd offer you the use of the bed, but I have a feeling you'd think that was creepy. You can sleep on the sofa. I'll get you a blanket. Thanks, Stiles says. He means to stay up and think about everything for a while, but surprises himself by falling asleep right away. So instead he does his thinking the next morning when he wakes up. The door into the bedroom is shut, so he assumes that Peter's asleep. He raids the werewolf's pantry and finds some cereal and helps himself. He toys with the choker while he thinks about everything Peter said, and about what his father said, that the Hale family had the devil's luck. Maybe he hadn't known exactly what he was getting into at the beginning, but it had become clear pretty fast. He hadn't backed out before. Why would he back out now? There are larger consequences at stake here. If the Hale family loses Beacon Hills, life will get harder and more dangerous for all of them. If he could go back in time and rescind his offer, he thinks, he wouldn't. So there's no reason for him to back down now. He hates Deucalion with an irrational loathing. Just thinking of the Alpha makes him want to punch the man in his smug face. He's not sure what to think of his cronies. Kali seems completely feral, but around Jennifer she's different. Gentler. Softer. Stiles isn't sure what that means. So when Peter gets up and comes out of the bedroom already dressed, he glances at Stiles and a smile quirks at his lips when he sees that Stiles is wearing the choker.
"Just like that?" he says. "I don't like bullies," Stiles says. "I don't care where they're from."
Peter frowns slightly.
"Are you quoting Captain America?"
"Technically, I'm quoting Steve Rogers in that he wasn't Captain America when he said that, but, yeah." Stiles shrugs. "The concept applies. Deucalion is nothing but a bully, and it's time he picked on somebody his own size. Which, apparently, is me." Now Peter looks amused.
"Well, then,
shall we go see what your werewolf has gotten up to?"
"Sure," Stiles says, standing up.
He's a little rumpled, having slept on the sofa in his clothes, but it isn't a big deal, in his opinion. He's looked worse. Peter heads for the stairs, then stops. "He's going to be a jerk to you today," he says, his tone matter-of-fact. "Don't take it personally. You see, I know my nephew very well. When he feels like he's let someone down, he pushes them away. He's going to act like he's angry at you. He isn't. He's angry at himself. If it makes you feel any better, he'll probably be an even bigger jerk to me, because he's pissed off that I had to come to his rescue."
"Great," Stiles says.
"How very mature." Peter just snorts and then goes up the stairs. Laura is terse and annoyed and drops a bowl full of eggs she's whisking when she sees Stiles in the collar.
Cora takes one look at him and says, "Wow, really?" but doesn't react beyond that, and some dramatic eye-rolling. Stiles helps Laura clean up the kitchen, and they're just talking about how Stiles is going to talk to Gordon for her, something Laura absolutely does not need him to do, in her opinion. And now Peter's the one rolling his eyes, and Stiles is wondering what gene is responsible for that, when Derek comes in. He was clearly up late, and he's tired and surly, and snarls at Laura when she asks him how he wants his eggs, and blinks sleepy-eyed at Cora when she gives him a cup of coffee, and actually gets 5 swallows of it down before he sees Stiles wearing the choker and spills it all over the counter.
"Where did you get that?"
he demands.
"Peter gave it to me," Stiles says.
"Duh. But on your behalf, of course."
Derek's scowl deepens. He snarls at Peter and says,
"That wasn't your right. It was mine to do."
"Oh, please," is Peter's succinct opinion.
"And I can't believe you accepted without talking to me first," Derek snaps at Stiles.
"Yeah, well, I can't believe you didn't make it clear to me how the fact that I wasn't wearing one was screwing you over. So maybe you should drink your coffee and shut the fuck up," Stiles retorts.
Derek wipes up the spilled coffee with murderous force.
"I knew I shouldn't have left you alone with him," he says to Peter.
"Yes, that's right, Derek," Peter says. "This is all my fault."
"Hey, back off," Derek snarls. "I can handle this."
"Okay, wait just a second," Stiles says, slamming his hand down on the table. "Peter's not only the one who saved my ass last night, but he's also the person who has actually explained things to me and told me how I need to behave if I actually want to help your sorry ass, which for some reason I still do. I get that you're pissed off that you didn't somehow magically foresee needing to bring obscene amounts of money last night, but we're all in this together, so why don't you shut your dick holster and let your uncle help?"
"Oh my God," Cora says, and starts cracking up. Laura's jaw is just sagging, and then she turns away, pressing one hand over her mouth to hold in the laughter.
Derek flushes pink and scowls even deeper.
"There are some things we should discuss," Peter agrees, "but why don't we do it over breakfast? I don't know about anyone else, but I'm starved."
Still glaring, Derek sits down at the table. Laura is still biting her lips as she serves everyone, and they sit down around the table. Returning to the previous topic, she says,
"I don't need anyone's help with Gordon."
"Of course not, Laura," Peter says smoothly. "But that doesn't mean some assistance wouldn't make things go a little more smoothly for you." He starts cutting into his fried eggs with the edge of his fork. "Because you either need to claim him or renounce your interest in him. The sooner the better. The day after tomorrow, preferably. You'll have a nice audience at the potluck." Laura purses her lips, but then sighs.
"If Stiles is willing to talk to him, I suppose it wouldn't hurt."
"Sure," Stiles says. "Gordon's cool."
"He's totally dreamy," Cora says, flipping her hair over her shoulder. "Laura's got a crush."
Laura narrows her eyes at her younger sister.
"Speaking of which, if callers are going around, shouldn't you be offering one to Isaac?"
Cora flushes pink.
"What? No! You told me I didn't have to choose anyone."
She picks up a piece of bacon and continues with her mouthful.
"And since nobody else has expressed interest in Isaac, then I don't have to stake a claim to keep anyone else off him. So there."
"Leading the boy on," Laura says, shaking her head. "Very not nice, baby sis." Cora makes a face at her.
"The problem," Peter says, bringing them back onto topic, "is that while Stiles' ability to defend himself makes him look strong, and possibly even makes the pack look strong, it makes Derek himself look weak. I was doing a little reading last night, and the guidelines originally set down by the werewolves do indicate that a human at the rituals has every right to defend themselves from unwanted advances, after they're formally claimed, of course, and that doing so is supposed to be not only allowed but encouraged. But we still have to get the message across that while Stiles can protect himself, he's still second to Derek."
"So just boss me around in front of some bigwigs," Stiles tells Derek.
"And tell you to do what?" Derek asks.
"I don't know. Tell me to kiss your feet. Figure it out," Stiles says. "Do I have to do everything around here?"
Laura frowns. "I can't believe there was a time in which I actually liked you."
"Ha, very ha," Stiles says. "You're stuck with me until 10 p.m. Or you owe Peter $4,000.
"Yes, what are you two going to do all day?" Cora asks brightly.
"I have a little light reading for Stiles to do," Peter says. "About 2,000 pages of werewolf history and protocol."
"Sounds like a blast," Stiles says. "Better than having to actually talk to him," Derek mutters.
Peter blows him a kiss.
"So, dear Uncle Peter told you everything, huh?"
Derek asks, turning to Stiles.
"He answered all your questions. He's your new best friend. Has he told you why we don't trust him?"
Peter's mouth tightens. Laura looks up and says,
"Derek, don't." "Don't," she says, Derek says, and his features are changing, rippling, and the tension in the room just builds.
Do you know why I didn't get any sleep last night, Stiles? Do you have any idea how it felt knowing that because of my lack of foresight, I had to leave you in the company of a murderer?
Derek, stop! Laura snarls. It's done. We've had this discussion.
It's not like I didn't know he killed people, Stiles points out, trying to calm things down before they get worse.
But it was for his family, right? Derek asks, his mouth twisting on the words. He would never hurt his pack, right? There's poor Peter Hale just trying to get revenge for his family. He's the smart one, the one everyone should listen to, the one everyone trusts, the one who nearly killed my sister to get what he wanted.
Derek! Laura snaps, her eyes flaring crimson, but it's too late. The damage is done.
The fuck is wrong with you people? Stiles says, trying to keep his temper. Just when I think I've got a handle on this crazy situation, shit goes sideways again. Peter, tell me what the hell Derek is talking about.
Peter sighs, and that makes Derek snarl at him.
After I killed the lackeys, I knew Kate was coming after me. She was a good hunter. I knew she was going to kill me, that the only way I would survive was if I was an alpha, so...
You tried to kill Laura, Stiles concludes.
And the worst part, Derek says, is how he did it. No surprise attacks, no violence. He tried to convince her that it was the right thing to do. He tried to manipulate her into letting him do it. He took my sister at one of the most vulnerable moments of her life and used her love for Cora and I against her. He told her that the pack needed him, that he would bring her back after it was over. He told her that we would never survive without him. And he told her that she wasn't good enough to be our alpha.
Jesus, Stiles says, under his breath. I would have brought her back, Peter says mildly. That wasn't a lie. It's fairly obvious that the spell I had found worked.
Do you honestly think that makes one damned bit of difference to me?
Derek snarls at him.
You didn't know it would work. You couldn't have known. And even if you did, that doesn't excuse what you did.
I did it for the pack, Peter says.
You did it for yourself, Derek retorts. You did it because you can't stand the idea that maybe you aren't right 100% of the time, because your ego is so huge that you honestly think there's no way the Hale Pack can survive without you.
Okay, enough, Laura shouts.
Jesus Christ, yes, Derek, what Peter did was terrible. He revealed his true colors in a way that none of us will ever forget. But it's over, and he's still your uncle, and he's still my beta, and we are done talking about this.
Why didn't you do it? Stiles asks quietly.
Let him kill you.
Because I was afraid, she says, her voice trembling. I told him to give me a day to think about it, and Kate got to him first.
Stiles turns his attention back to his plate. He's thinking back to that day at the police station. His father had ushered him inside, although not before he'd gotten an eyeful of what Kate had done to Peter. But he could still hear what was going on outside as he sat in the station, and he remembers hearing Laura arrive. Remembers hearing a woman screaming, 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 and then howling. One of the most desperate, desolate noises he had ever heard. Laura carries the guilt over Peter's death, no matter how temporary, to this day. And Derek is clearly never going to forgive him for the effect his words had on their alpha.
Derek, he says evenly, picking up a piece of bacon, if you would like to join me while I read dusty old books about werewolves in your creepy uncle's basement, I would be glad for the company. Some of the tension leaves Derek's shoulders. All he manages to choke out is,
okay, fine, but it's enough.